This is actually, okay, so, this is Pedialyte, ladies. You know what Pedialyte is?
What is, no.
So Pedialyte is a drink for usually babies or old people. To hydrate.
You need Zinzino in your life.
To hydrate them when they are sick or something like that. But now they make an adult formula so drunk people like me can like hydrate.
I feel so terrible
it's
for
like
you.
Barocca. Yeah. That's what we get.
I feel terrible for you because we're like on water feeling healthy and like energetic in the middle of the day and you're like hungover as fuck. I feel so bad for you.
See my
so,
eyes?
So bad for you. Your eyes too, your eyes. All right, so welcome to Conversations with My Ex, another week of amazing podcasts. This week, we have my friend Pip from UK, our guest on our show.
What's up, Pip? How you doing? I'm so excited
to have you here. And the reason we're having guests now on our podcast, and we're inviting our friends, is because the goal for our podcast is to support and inspire our listeners if they're going through, let's say, difficult times in their life, or they may be feeling guilty about like past events that they did or didn't do. So we want to share our personal stories, but it's not enough to just talk about ourselves. I want our listeners to hear other people's stories that are just as extraordinary and just as heroic and inspiring. So everybody can, you know, our listeners can hear a little bit of everything from different people, different countries, different perspectives, and maybe find something that resonates with them. So Pip, tell me a little bit about yourself. Maybe I'm going to give a little introduction of how we met, which is funny because we never met in person. Jerry, I don't know if you know this.
I did. So y'all out here on a date nap, basically.
Y'all ain't even met yet.
Okay.
We haven't even met yet. I belong to this membership called Society, and it's coming from like Boss Babe. So it's like all boss women, entrepreneur females, and was I looking for something? I think I was looking for help.
Pricing.
I was looking for pricing with my business, and Pip reached out, and then we just kind of like became friends, but we never met in person. And she's been really supportive to me. Like when I was doing lash extensions and I was having my like ups and downs, she was really there for me and supportive. And then when I was changing careers and like doing crazy things, she's like, "You're cool." Like she was just my space, like holding my sanity for me. And I was like, I want to hear more of your story because you're so inspiring to me. So Pip, introduce yourself to us and to our listeners.
Wow, set me up there. So I feel like I got big shoes to fill now. My name's Pip. I used to work in corporate. I went down the whole, you know, straight A route, going to a good uni, got my engineering degree, went into the world of engineering, really quickly decided that engineering was not for me. You try designing a concrete car park for a year of your life and stay sane. I mean, no.
Hey, listen, I understand.
Yeah.
Jerry's an engineer. So.
Are you an engineer? Oh, I love it. So I had a bit of an early life crisis and moved into corporate consulting, which I loved. I'm kind of very analytical. I love problem solving. I guess it's the engineer in me, but I really wanted more of the personal side of things, which I missed in the engineering. So off I worked, Big Four, corporate consulting, sat through all my accountancy exams, did all of that, loved it. Like I got to travel all the time, work with some amazing clients, like constantly being pushed in my job. But I got to that stage where I was maybe late 20s, and I was starting to get to the stage where I'm thinking like, okay, what am I doing next? Like, do I really want to do this forever?
Such a familiar
And my partner's
feeling.
A lawyer. Yeah. And we're both like, okay, so we're both on our little corporate roles. This is great. Yeah. But where does real life fit into all of this?
Yeah.
And I had a business on the side. And so 2 years ago, it's roughly when we met actually. Around 2 years ago, that's when I made the leap and went, you know what? I'm going all in on the business, leave corporate. Fend
That's
for myself.
Crazy. What is so, that? What is that yeah. business?
So a few different things, but the first one was accounting and law revision guides. So essentially helping people who've gone through a similar path to me, who are studying for their accountancy professional exams whilst working. I say a 9-to-5, but it's not a 9-to-5 in Big Four. It's like
I was about to say a forever. all day, all night.
Exactly. So selling those guides, and then kind of through a friend I knew at uni, then got involved in a similar business that's doing it with law revision guides to help people become lawyers, and kind of just open up to stop it being basically so white and male was the idea that we kind of make law more accessible.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. And you do coaching now, right?
Yeah. So one of the things I realized when I left corporate and the consulting, is I miss people. Like, it's great having your own econ business and you have your little team that you talk to, but I miss just working with people. And I had a huge number of skills, which I don't think I realized until I met a lot of small business owners. And the skills I had, I could see how I could actually help people really take their business to the next level, but they just didn't have access to, you know, the corporate consultancy packages that, you know, only big businesses have. So that's kind of how I ended up moving into the coaching area. And to be honest, it's the best. You know, when you just find something that is you.
Yeah.
I feel like I found that thing that I'm supposed to be doing now, which is awesome.
So, you know, like I hear a lot of like changes that were happening, like either small changes, maybe in similar field, maybe it's not like a completely like 180, but you know, you left a big corporate job and like Jerry is still in a big, like well-paid position. I've left a corporate job. It wasn't like a tremendous whatever, like I wasn't top dog, you know, somewhere, but I've left a corporate world. And so it was difficult for me, but I wanna know, like, what were you feeling when you were changing directions, when you were changing careers, where you were leaving your corporate job? Because a lot of people these days are like, oh no, I want financial stability, or like I want stability, or like I will never be able to do that. But then you hear all these stories and I want to know, like, what thoughts did you have? Were there like any doubt for you? Like, what would others say? Or like, how did you feel?
Oh my God. I was fucking terrified. Straight up terrified. I think, again, being quite an analytical person, I did that thing where I wrote out my like pros and cons list of both things, classic.
You did exactly what I would have done. You did exactly
I was like writing out my list, and I like, what was quite good is because I had one business already, I knew I had some money coming in. So I was like, I know I can pay the rent. And I was in a very lucky position in the fact that because my partner works in law, like he has a great salary. So we kind of had the discussion and we knew that like shit hit the fan and it all went tits up and it just wasn't going to happen. We weren't going to get kicked out of our house. And I think that was one of the things for me, that if I'd have been by myself, I'd have probably taken bigger risks because I wouldn't be affecting someone else.
Mm. Yeah.
But in a way, kind of his position also enabled me to do it.
That is interesting. That is really interesting that, that you considered him that you didn't want to take a risk because you had him to consider as well, as opposed to saying, well, he's kind of my crutch. In a sense.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Which a lot of times people be like, oh, because you're doing this, because my spouse is doing this. Or my partner is like, I can do whatever, you know? So it's that's an interesting outlook. What was your family saying? Were they like supportive of you? Like, what about your friends? Like, what was the feedback that you were having from people around you?
I think generally pretty positive. I think that thing with your family is they're always worried that, you know, you work so hard, you jump through so many hoops. And my parents worked their butts off to get us to where we were. And I was very conscious that I didn't want to throw away, all that time and money and them struggling as we were growing up to afford everything. Yeah. And probably I'm much more aware of this now as an adult than I was when I was a kid growing up. And I didn't want to throw that away. But in the same way, I've always said I wanted my own business. And I think that's something that people got around me, especially my mom, because she works for herself. She's a vet, but she was self-employed right from really young, which was really unusual for vets. Like I guess 30 years ago. So I think she kind of got the wanting to be in charge of your own schedule the most because she'd done it. Generally people have been so supportive. I think they think I'm a bit nuts, if I'm honest, because like, why would you leave a great paying job?
I completely understand that. People are like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those things I always feel the grass is always greener, isn't it? So like, when I was in Big Four, I was flying business places. I got to work in Jamaica and Amsterdam and London and all over the shop. And it felt so glamorous. And I had all the hotel points and all the air miles, but like, I was living out of a suitcase, and this is great when you're in your 20s, but I'm like, when I'm 40, what do I want my kid to like be passed off to someone? And then I see it at the end of the week. I mean, it just wasn't a long-term solution for me.
It's crazy. You say you're literally speaking. Like, I feel like I'm talking to a mirror right now.
Amen. Thank God. Yes. Because I needed something for Jerry to be like, oh, okay. Like I want, because Jerry, like you have so much potential for so many different things, but I feel like a lot of times you make yourself stuck. So I was like, I need Pip to come on our show and like talk to Jerry.
And I completely, every single thing you've said, I've felt before. So I also want to leave at some degree. Right. For sure, I'm definitely going to. But I just have that anxiety, that fear of like, oh my God, I make too much money. I can't leave this. I get to travel all over the place. Like you're saying, like all of these things. And you're like, oh, what am I going to do? Like everyone's going to think I'm a failure. I'm going to feel like I'm a failure. It's going to be a while before, you know, there's that period of time. I don't have anybody else to, you know, to help me out either. But like, it'll be a period in time where it'll be a huge transition. If I leave a job without having something established already, it'll be a huge transition of like, all right, now what am I going to do? But I am setting myself up for it. I'm trying to set myself up financially for it so that I can just be like, all right, I'm out. I'm not going to die. Like you said, I can pay my rent.
I'm going to be able to
pay my rent. So like, I did have one question though for you about the beginning. Why did you even get into engineering in the first place? What was your motivation for it? Did you really love it or was it pressure? Like, what was the motivation for it?
Great question. And it's funny, there's some bits you said actually that I'll come back to on like leaving and like setting yourself up, because that was a big one for me financially. And the thing that I always said to myself was, if I don't make enough money from the business, I can go get a job in a bar or in a supermarket or somewhere. Like,
you could technically go back. You could technically even go back to a job.
Right? Exactly. But like my brain power was used so much up in my corporate job. Like I needed, if I was going to get money from somewhere else, it had to be somewhere where I could like show up, do my job. And it wasn't going to drain me mentally. Like physically I could stand there serving people, you know, at the bar all day, but not. And so that's something that really helped for me. And then of course I did it and we went into lockdown and COVID happened. So that wasn't ideal, but it's amazing actually when you're thrown into the place, how quickly you lose your previous identity and you just realize you don't need as much money as you thought to live on. And so much just happens because you're in that place.
Mm. Yeah.
But going back to the engineering, I was always really good at math and science all the way through school. So I always went down the science route. And in the UK, you have to choose like 3 or 4 A levels. And I think 4 of mine were science. And then I did music. It was like my fun one. And so it was really, everybody said, okay, engineering or medicine. And for whatever reason, engineering seemed more the logical one. I loved creating
you're just so logical. You just, the way you talk, you're just like, it just seemed like the most logical. Yeah, it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And then I remember travel, because I went on a gap year before I went to uni, and I actually applied for music first of all, because that had always been my passion. And then I think I realized, actually, I don't want a career in music. That's not where I want to go. So I went traveling, did the sort of, you know, standard like gap year, traveling around Asia and Africa and all over. And one of the things that I loved was, I don't know why, and it sounds so geeky, I found it just amazing, like, you know, up and coming cities, like the skyscrapers and the bridges, and how you have this really cool like vibe of like people with these cool, really incredible skyscrapers, and then next door you have people who are kind of not quite living in mud huts, but it's really kind of like a shanty feel. And I love that, the mix and the vibe. And I think that's where the engineering bit then like clicked. I was like, I want to be involved in trying to make this better, and how can you like put cities and towns together. So I always went down the buildings and structurals route. But I think that's where it came from, and again, problem solving.
So you're a civil engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was one thing that I wanted to say when you were guys like chatting about, you know, how much money you made or make or whatever. And I was like, because I've left my corporate job, and I'm like, I left it with probably much easier heart. Although for 6 months, I was so stressed out and thinking about it every day. I'm like, today's the day when I'm going to send that email. Today's the day when I'm going to. And like, I didn't. And then I left my job in the middle of pandemic. It was like a year in, or like, that's, I don't know, 8 months in.
Crazy. When you did that, it's crazy.
Yeah. I was like,
so brave to do that.
I'm just leaving. But I think it's because, like, you know, I have a degree in marketing, right? And while you can make tons of money in marketing, is not as well paid right off the bat when you graduate, like, engineering, mm-hmm. law, and medicine. So for me, it wasn't the money. Like, yeah. I was like, I feel mentally drained. My creativity is dying. I'm like, if my brain and creativity dies, that's it for me. You know, like, I'm not going to be able to move forward. So it wasn't the money, because I can probably make twice as much working in a bar,
doing whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw
that in you too. Like, yeah, I was like, it was draining you so much. It was such a challenge. I felt like the whole time we were dating when you were in London, I'm like, bro, this is draining this woman. And
I was like, I need to be a podcast host.
You didn't know it yet. You didn't know it yet.
A podcast host. Yeah. No, I didn't know it yet. But like, Pip actually supported me through that shift. I was like, I want to quit. You know, and I was like, I don't know when. And then I quit. And she was like, you're so brave for doing it. I'm like, somebody thinks that I'm not crazy. That's good. You know,
It's one of those things that, like, I always think it's an opportunity cost, isn't it? Like, you could have been stuck in your job for another 2 years.
Yeah.
But then you've wasted 2 years of, like, figuring all this shit out and what you want to do. And, like, life is short. Like, is. You never know what can happen. What's the point in being stuck? Exactly. You'll always make it happen. If you want it bad enough, it will all come together.
And, you know, you said it, like, once you put in a situation, you move much faster than you thought. Like, if you're sitting there comfortably, you're going to be thinking like, oh, I could potentially do this. And you move at much slower pace. But if you throw yourself into something, or like life happens and you have to think on your feet, life changes in days. Then you just find ways, you make moves, you meet people, like something happens. And, you know, like, I'm a big believer in like energy and like attracts like. So when you're sitting there in fear, regardless if it's job or not, but like, if you're sitting there in doubt, fear, anxiety, stress, you attract more of that. And, you know, it resonates. So I'm like, no, I need to get rid of this negative feeling, or this guilt feeling that I have inside, and so I can attract more goodness to life. It's interesting. No.
Yeah. This whole journey is, I never thought this would happen to me. Like, I never thought this was, I haven't done it yet. So you girls are the brave ones in the group. I haven't been y'all the strong ones. I haven't made the leap yet, but I also do still love my job. So it's difficult, because it's not that I don't love my job or the people or what I'm doing. It's more like, I feel like I've outgrown this career path. Like, I've done I accomplished all of my goals and dreams in life already. So once I've done that, now I'm like, well, what's next? It can't be this. It can't just be this and making money. Like you said, it's not about money anymore for me.
I'll take your money.
You know what, Jerry? Question for you then. So it's really interesting to say that, because I loved my job, my consulting job. Like, that was, I think, one of the reasons it was so hard to leave, because I loved it so much. It was so me. But this, now I look back, I'm like, it was the best decision I ever made, but it was really hard in the time. But I think it was almost easier because I was a woman, and there was never the expectation that I had to provide. And I know we live in like modern society, and I would never expect my partner to provide for me and my family, but there is that kind of expectation around it. So I'd love to know whether that's something that factors in, where you feel like there's a pressure, where it's much more normal for women as they're heading into their 30s and maybe like having young kids or whatever to work part-time, or like have a more fluid career path.
Is that something that you ever think about?
That is. Yes, a lot. And it's a little bit different than what you said though. I struggle with this with my therapist a lot, talking to her. And for me, it's two things. One is, I'm like, I'm the most successful person in my family by far, right? By miles. And there's this pressure for me to kind of take care of them in some degree, or to get to a point where I can completely take care of them. And that shouldn't be an obligation to me, but I feel personally responsible for it. So if I'm not there, or I don't get there, or, you know, I currently have the ability to do things for them that I couldn't before. And that's one of them. And then another one is just just the social pressure of, like, you know, when you meet someone for the first time, you guys don't do it so much in Europe and in the UK, but when you meet somebody the first time, they always ask, what do you do for work?
Yeah. So what do you do for a living?
What do you do for a living? And I get to say, oh, I'm an engineer. I design cars, blah, blah, blah. And I get to say this cool shit. And they're like, oh, and then they kind of respect you, right? There's this automatic respect. What do I do when I don't have that anymore? Am I enough? Is who I am and what I'm doing enough? And that's what I struggle with the most, I think, is your job turns into a part of your identity. And like you said that earlier, that's what I was like, it does. And I don't want that anymore. I want my identity to be me. And then my job is just my job. Like, I'm just doing work. That's how I get paid. Right.
You might need to quit, you know, you might need to let go a little bit to like feel that your identity is not your job
anymore. I completely agree. I have a friend that did it. I'm actually staying with him right now. We'll have him on the podcast another time. We'll talk with him later. But I can't say I convinced him to quit his job, but I definitely supported and like said, listen, man, I can see, like, just like your team. I was like, I can see you dying inside, like, and you need to get out of it. I don't have that yet. I'm not dying inside. So for me, it's not that much of a pressure. For me, it's just like you said about time. It's like I am spending every year that I'm not quitting and doing what I want to do. I'm spending that time. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the pressure comes to me.
But you know what? Like, I saw this post somewhere, like, there's no shame in being in 9-to-5 job. Like, there's no shame in being an employee and, like, you know, have a boss and like work for somebody. There's absolutely no shame, because a lot of times people, like those who quit jobs or like those who don't have a 9-to-5, they would like shame others that do. I'm like, there's no shame in it. But it's like, if you think you want to do it and you have something inside of you that's like little fire burning, we are just supporting you so you don't waste any more time, you know, because like it sounds, Jerry, that you like what you do, you have other ideas. So maybe you just need like a good hobby that, you know, gives you more of like creativity or like fire or whatever. Yeah,
that's why I do so many things. That's why I got into photography. I do photography and videography on the side, making music videos or whatever else. Obviously we have a podcast. What I'm trying to do is like ignite my creativity by doing these new things. And maybe one of those things will stick, you know,
maybe one of those things
I feel so strongly about that I'm like, this is it. I got it. And then I just go, right. I haven't gotten there yet, but you know,
because you don't want to use a hobby. And I think this is part of the reason that when I, like, way back when I decided not to do music, because it was such a hobby for me, I didn't want to lose that love and that passion for it. And it's so easy, isn't it, when you love something and then it turns into your job, to kind of resent it a little bit.
But then
in the same way, my corporate job, like the reason I've done so well now is because of the skills I learned in my corporate job. I just wouldn't have the clients I have. I wouldn't do the work I did now if I hadn't had that experience 100%. Of working in a corporate job. And so I feel like sometimes you need to also have that amount of time so people take you seriously. And it sounds awful, but they do. If you've worked somewhere and you've got various different qualifications, they take note of that, whether you should or shouldn't. It's just one of those things in life, and that can be really helpful.
Yeah. That's true. You know, when you have like, oh, I've had this job and they quit and I'm doing this now. So they kind of like, oh, so you know what you're doing. I'm like, no, I quit because I did it.
We all have a little imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I wanted to ask more a little bit, you know, I mentioned you were changing a little bit your careers and your paths. Like, how did you feel about yourself when you were moving from, you know, one part of the circle to another? Like, was there any doubt, like, oh, like, you know, I'm something less, or like, oh, I'm doing great, like I can, you know, combine my skills into one? And like, how did you feel? Because I've changed paths and I'm still changing paths, and I'm going from, you know, audio editing to like lash extensions to like, you know, some like, it's just a rainbow of things. So like, how did you feel?
Scared a lot of the time. I doubted myself a lot. I think this is one of those things. You have those like ups and downs, don't you? You have the imposter syndrome kicks in and you're like, shit, I don't know anything about anything. Why would people want to pay to work with me? And then you have those moments that you speak to someone else and you're like, oh my gosh, like I know my shit here. Like, I really know what I'm talking about. And that's what, I, you're kind of on this roller coaster. And I think it gets better the longer you've been, that like the dips aren't quite so up and down, and you learn to like neutralize at the top and bottom. But then sometimes that's sad, because I think you then don't celebrate necessarily those real highs that you have when you initially start out, like that first sale, or you know, the first time something really comes together is you're just on such a high. But yeah, imposter syndrome is real, and it's crazy when you're taken out of an environment that you feel comfortable in. You have the same skills, you have everything's the same, but because you're taken out of that supportive environment of work or whatever it is, how your imposter syndrome can suddenly just flare up for no reason other you than feel the fact like that you don't have someone behind you.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like everything that you just learned in the last couple of years or 10 years or whatever, it's out the window because you're not in the office anymore, or like you're not in a particular situation anymore. That is a great, like, I needed this honestly, because the imposter syndrome is exactly that. It's like, I doubt myself so often in everything. And it's because it's a new area and I don't know. And I forget that I was doing something similar before, and it's just a different name, but you know, the underneath it's like the same skill set. This was an amazing, oh my God, I hope our listeners like had a brain like explosion just the same way I did just now. Cause I'm like, yeah, my skills are not going anywhere when I'm changing paths. Like, yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty, I mean, it's tough. The whole thing is tough. Like, everyone I've luckily been around a lot of people who have done this type of path, right? Which is crazy.
You mean quitting jobs, yeah, like quitting jobs career. To start a business?
Mm-hmm. Not just jobs. You guys aren't quitting jobs. People are quitting careers that they went to school for. Like, you dedicated your life.
That's careers. To. Yeah.
You dedicated your life to, and then you're like, fuck that. I'm leaving, and then I know so many people. I know so many people doing it, and I'm just so amazed by it when it happens.
Yeah,
and I give the utmost respect for someone who has the balls to do it.
My mom was saying, she was like, your school should pay for your life right now. Like, everything that you invested in school, that education should be paying for everything that you want right now. Like, whatever it is, you know, travel or like shoes or whatever, like, you know, skiing or trips, I don't know, whatever. She's like, that should be paying for you for all of this right now. You should get a good job and then, you know, work 9 to 5, have weekends off, have evenings off, and then travel and do your thing. And I'm like, the 9 to 5 is so, to me, I'm like, I feel like I'm selling my soul to like devil, okay? Because like, it's just
a little dramatic, but yeah, can't do it.
Yeah. So I had this like little thing, because I quit my job for the second time in 1 year. I don't know if I told you, but I quit my job 2 weeks ago again.
Oh, the new one. The new, okay.
Yeah, the new one that I was so happy about. And I was like, oh my God, I got this job, blah, blah, blah. I was texting her. And then like a couple weeks ago, I was like, I quit. I can't.
I'm calling off for the last time. I'm not coming back.
So this is what happened. I woke up like early and whatever. And I was, you know, having my morning ritual, reading a book, having my matcha, and I'm reading a book, and I was like so into it. I was so interested. And then my alarm goes off when I need to start getting ready for work. And I'm thinking, I'm educating myself right now. I'm so like spiritually in tune with my moment. And I have to get ready, interrupt everything that I'm doing, interrupt this moment of joy for work. I'm like, nah, I'm quitting.
Damn, that was the motivation. She said, you know what? Y'all are fucking up my balance, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's important though. We laugh about it, right? We're joking about it, but
yeah,
that is important. That type of thing, like to be able to say, I'm at peace with me, and I feel better. It's all about your own mental health too, right? It's not just about busting your ass all day. Mm-hmm. And we get caught in this dumbass rat race, man. They've brainwashed us.
Hustle, like, hustle, hustle. Yeah.
100%. Because sometimes I always say this, I just wish I was one of those people, like I'd been born one of those people where I would just go to work. I'd come home from work, I'd forget about work, I'd put on Netflix, and I'd enjoy my life. I wish so much that was how my brain was wired, because all of these other issues that life has thrown at me would just not be a thing.
It wouldn't be there. And that I used to say this, Pip, to that point. I think about 70-75% of people are that way. And I usually say this, I don't want to call people sheep, but in the analogy, about 70-75% of people are sheep in that aspect.
Yeah.
They are herded, and you're just like, you do what society tells you to do. And then I think there's
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
We inspire.
And they're happy doing it as well.
That's what I'm saying. Or oblivious to it. One of the two, right? Either it doesn't even cross their mind. And that's fine. I think that's perfectly fine. And then there's like 20% of people who don't like the shit. They know that they're uncomfortable with it. And they're like, I don't like this shit. But they're not going to do anything about it. Right.
Yeah.
They don't like it. They hate it.
Because they're scared, the doubts, the imposter syndrome, everything.
Whatever
the
it
parents,
is.
Parents, everything comes
a
in.
Pressure from your family, like we were saying before. Mm. You have kids, all these things, right? So there's 20% of people who hate it, but they're not going to do anything about it because it's too much for them. The risk versus reward doesn't seem right for them. And then there's that 5%. Or less. It's probably
like
less
me.
Than that.
I need to read my book.
Like y'all. And hopefully me one day. You know?
Hopefully.
I won't say hopefully. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. I know.
It's probably when you retire, you know? Yeah. It's like, I think this is time right now.
I mean, to be completely honest, the only reason I'm at this company I'm at now is mainly because I have like stock options and it could set me up to not have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and at that point, then it's like, oh, yeah, perfect. Like,
yeah.
I'm just done.
Exactly. Because I took, 4 years, I think, from starting before I left my corporate job. 3.5-4 years before I left. And I was, for ages, I was really happy just having it as like my little side hustle, just assuming that that's what it was going to be. And then it got to a point where I was like, no, I need to take this more seriously now. So I don't think you ever need to be in a rush with these things. The right time will present itself for whatever reason. And that it's knowing when to then make the leap, I think is that's the tricky part.
You'll feel it, you know, like I was crazy. I'm like, I don't really have anything else planned. Like I had my lash extensions, but then I stopped that. And so, but like the inner thing for me, I was like, I need to feel at peace. I need to feel in balance in order to make decisions, in order to come up with the next thing. Because if I have my work and I'm stressed about it, it's taking all my mental capacity. Mm-hmm. Like I have no more opportunity to even think. I'm like, oh, maybe I could use this in other areas. So I was like, this needs to go and something else will just fall into my lap. So I wanted to ask you, Pip, about your relationship, because obviously the podcast is Conversations with My Ex, and I mean, we touch on that.
Your relationship's not, it's not your ex though, right? It's your current.
Not my ex, no.
He's
avoided that fate.
So like at one point, maybe like a year ago, we're like texting back and forth, and you mentioned to me like back then a few times that like your partner is away, something like that. So I had a feeling that you were maybe in like a long distance relationship or like a distance relationship. Tell us more about that and like where you guys were then and how are you now?
Yeah. So we met at uni. I'll be really honest. I'd come out of a kind of, you know, your first serious like teenage relationship going into uni was definitely not going to have a boyfriend. That was like my one rule. I'm going to be single for uni. Of course, that just got messed up completely by him. So we were dating throughout university and then we lived together for about six. No, we didn't actually. I lied. So then we went off different ways, still together, but two parts of the country. So we'd like meet at weekends. And then we managed to live together for 6 months. And then he got this, he was basically in IT technology before, and then got this law job, which was a huge deal. Like it was really incredible. He comes from like quite a quiet town and it's just such an incredible opportunity and something he really wanted. And I think never thought would actually happen. And so off he went down to London. And so we then up until COVID were basically living in two ends of the country and then commuting back and forth.
How was that?
And it wasn't really
out
till COVID. Yeah. It wasn't till COVID that we got to live together.
But
properly.
How was that working out for you? Because Jerry and I, we did a long distance relationship and
super,
it was
super long distance though.
It was.
Okay, you guys
so
are like intercontinental long distance.
We were across the ocean. You know?
Yeah. But it was so hard. And like you guys commuted, you know, every weekend you said, right?
Yeah, so he would come up to me pretty much every weekend because I owned a flat, so it was kind of easier. But For me, it works really well. Like, I'm one of those, I'm probably quite an intense person to be in a relationship with because of my business and everything else. I like have a lot of things that I'm passionate about.
And I don't need to be like just as intense.
Yeah. I don't need like constant time together. That doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So actually I think in some ways it really worked because it's meant that it's forced us to have our own individual things. But then when we have time together, we actually cherish that time together and enjoy that time together because it's limited. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that it's lasted so well, because we've kind of supported each other in our evolution and different careers. You know, neither of us have ever held each other back because we've both seen how important it is for us to do our own thing. And it's worked in that way. But I think it suits a certain type of person. Like, I don't need a lot of support. So if I was quite, and I don't want to say needy, but if I needed a little bit more support, then it probably wouldn't have worked out. Vice versa, in all fairness, you know.
Yeah. What would you tell to people that maybe, you know, because of COVID, they have to like separate right now, or like they're about to get into a distance relationship for a few months or a couple of years? Like, what would be your first advice that you give, like, let's say to our girls, to females first, and then we'll talk about guys?
I think for me, the thing is, like, if you are happy in who you are, then you'll be happy in your relationship. So, and that comes down to things like your trust. And like, I never worry about, like, if, for all I know, he could be off in London cheating every week and vice versa, you know, so could I, but like, it's just not something that ever crosses my mind because the trust is there. And that's because we're both comfortable in ourselves. So we're not offloading issues within ourselves to each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We say this all the time with Jerry, don't we?
You have to
be honest and open with yourself, like happy with yourself first, and then before you get into any relationship. So it's like amazing that we have a guest and they say exactly what we say. So, you know, maybe like listeners be like, it's a thing. Okay.
I feel like Pip's like kind of my twin or something like that.
Yeah, oh, really? I feel like we're literally the same person across the ocean. I guess communication is so important, isn't it? I mean, but that's kind of a given, I think, for any relationship. But
People don't know that, though.
People don't know. People think communication is just like
talking to each other. Yeah,
they just like saying words. I'm like, no, communication is communicating what's in your head with the words and like what you feel, saying it exactly what it is. That's communication. Like, because we can't be in your fucking head reading your mind and you know, trying to decide whether you like something or not. Like, communication is saying exactly what you think and what you feel.
You know, what's funny about your communication. Your teeth thinks I'm the worst communicator ever. And everyone else I know thinks I'm the best communicator they've ever met. So it's crazy.
No, it's crazy.
I'm serious. It's crazy.
It's because like, I always feel that you saying just a little bit and I'm like, I know there's something more. Like, why don't you say it? And then at one podcast episode, I think, or whatever, maybe it was outside of recording, you said, I just don't give a fuck. I'm like, here we go.
Oh,
just say that.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I know what she means.
Like, you would be sure with me and I'm like, you're not communicating.
And then you'd be like, well, Jerry, I just want you to be like, well, I don't give a fuck that much about that.
Tell
so that's
me.
Why I'm not talking
just,
about it.
Yeah, just tell me.
That's
like,
it, isn't it? Because I feel like you wear your emotions on your sleeve. So you know kind of things. And I'm similar to you, Jerry, in that like, I get to a point where I'm like, I don't want to talk. Let's move forward.
That's it. That's the end of
But that annoys people. It annoys the shit out of people if they want to talk it out and you're like, but I don't want to talk it out. I talked it out to myself in my head and I'm done with it. And now we're moving on. But I guess it's knowing that balance, isn't it? So sometimes you're like, to communicate, I need to have that conversation.
Exactly. You say that, like, to communicate, I need to communicate.
So basic.
But that's a good point, you know. I know it, like, and I think your advice, Pip, that it probably goes to like anybody in any situation in life. Like, once you're first happy with yourself, then you're going to be happy at work, you're going to be happy with friends, you're going to be happy with your partners, and whatever situation is thrown at you, just have that inner trust that you can handle it. And like, that inner trust creates the inner peace, and you'll just coast through life. You're like, yeah, I'm a bad bitch, I can do this, you know?
It's tough though, isn't it? I think long distance is It's tough. It's not
that
for
shit,
everyone.
That shit is not for everybody. No, it was definitely not for us.
No. You know what I would say? It was for me, but it wasn't for Jerry.
It was like, not for me.
It was not for Jerry. You know what it was I felt, for me.
What? And I've learned this recently, your team. Mm. I don't need a lot of support. Like what you said, Pip, I don't need constant like in my face type shit, right? But what I desire from relationships is some type of physical support. Mm. Like I need someone there physically for me sometimes. And I need someone to be soft with, like an emotional support, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't do that as much when you're in a long distance, right? That's all I really need out of it, right? I don't need a lot of other things. I don't need you to financially support me. A lot of things. So it's hard when it's like, you're so far away. I feel alone. Like I feel more alone. Like I'm cool with being by myself. But when I'm in a relationship with somebody, it's like, oh damn, I also am alone with this girl. Like,
yeah.
Like, and then it feels like, you know, when I go out, when I used to go out, I'm like, damn, I'm single, but I got a girlfriend. You know, that's what it felt like. And I was like, I hate this shit. I'm out here, but I ain't out here. You know, I gotta behave. I gotta be cool. And it was just, and it wasn't like I had no temptations. Honestly, I had no temptations to cheat. It was just more like,
it was a constant reminder. Want some,
yeah, I just couldn't be around her. Right. And it was it was really weird. Really.
Yeah, I get that. I think, and that's the harder thing, like, because we saw each other each weekend.
Yeah, like, you got that.
You get through a week. I honestly, like, it would be fine. So Nick did 6 months in Amsterdam, and that was fine because I went out a couple of times. But, like, that's fine. But long term, it's hard.
The whole time.
You have to be a special type of person and two people together to make it work, I think.
Yeah. I think, like, knowing that something is coming up, like a little reward, that's what got me going. Like I knew that I'm going to see you and like, yeah, okay, 6 weeks or maybe like 4 weeks or something. Like that's a long time, but it's going to happen. So I'm always like focused on that positive thing. And yeah, like the lonely nights or whatever, that's normal. Even if you're in a relationship, you might be sleeping with a person in the same bed and still feel lonely. So that's something that, you know, you fill in from within, like that's definitely like your inner work, not to feel lonely with who you're with or whatever. I don't think the distance adds anything, but Jerry and I, we didn't really had a direction we're going. We're like, so what are we going to do?
What are we doing next?
And what are we doing next? And we're both a little bit hesitant and we're like, well, technically we should be doing this, but I don't want to, and I don't want to. So we need to part because we don't want to take the next step. You know, we're like, we're not ready. We don't want to take the next step.
We had
step.
Way too much pressure. Like the whole country situation and it was so much pressure on like, well, are we going to get married just so you can get here? And we both were like, nah, we ain't doing that. Yeah. Like we're not doing that. So then it's like, I moved to the UK. I'm like, yeah, I guess I could.
It's a huge step though, isn't it? It fast forwards everything. And I don't think that's necessarily healthy. Like you need to go through each stage naturally, don't you?
Yeah. There was part of me where I was like, I'm new to London myself and I don't necessarily want Jerry to be on my back.
I agree. I felt
going
the same way.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this, I felt the same way. It was like, you got to have this new life experience in this new country, in this new city. And like, I'm going to come ruin it. Like I'm going to come and like step on your toes. Like that just felt so weird to me.
If anybody is in long distance relationship listening, don't rush things, but maybe try to have an end goal and you know, the loneliness, you're fine. It's going to come and go.
Yeah, just do a lot of masturbation.
Get a hobby. Yeah. If you have a hobby and then you can fill your time with things, then the 6 weeks, they just pass by, no problem.
Jerry goes, do a lot of masturbation. And Pip goes, just get a hobby.
Yeah. I'm talking about sex.
Maybe that could be a hobby.
And I actually wasn't sexually lonely. It's funny because I never felt that the sex part was easy for me. I was in a relationship where the girl didn't have sex and I was with her for 5 years.
It was hard for me.
Yeah, it was harder for you. The sex is harder for you than it was for me. So like that wasn't hard. It was the nights of just going out and doing things with friends and like,
I'm like,
where the fuck are you at? Like, it was just weird. It was just weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Pip, I have one more question for you. This is back to career. So, you know, you left, you bounced, you did your own thing. What would be one thing, one biggest thing of advice that you would give someone that wants to do this, like for them to either start something new or that first step, that motivating factor for them to actually, you know, take that leap?
Ooh, good question. I think there's so many things here. I think the logical part of me would be like, plan everything out before you make the jump and make sure you kind of got your finances in order and all of that. And that's something I would definitely say do. I know, Erta, you just do your own thing. But for me, like, that would stress me out if I was just like, I quit and move. But I think it's about getting really clear about what you want in life, because that's the thing that you keep coming back to when you're having those hard times. So for me, it was about somehow making the business be able to, in the future, work around a family and give us the life that we want, but still have flexibility around work. And also for me to not feel like I was losing my career, because that was really important to me. I don't want to kind of go to eventually having children and then losing my thing that's mine. So having that end goal, I think, helps me. It helped me make the leap, and then it helped me every day when you're having those downs, because you can look forward to what your end goal is, and that just keeps you on track. And if that's not strong enough, it's so easy to then go back to what you were doing or to fall into bad habits. It's not having that kind of clear vision.
I think that's so strong. True. That's very strong. I think that's where I lack right now, and that's why I haven't left. I don't know what my end goal is yet, and until I do, I'm like, well, what am I even working toward? What am I going? What am I trying to do in life?
Yeah.
That's
But I don't think you need the exact, for me, like, it's become clearer over time. I think for me, it was literally like more freedom over like more financial freedom or anything, literally just more freedom to work in the day when I wanted to work in the day and to not work when I didn't want to work. And then it's kind of evolved from there. So I feel like as long as you have a part of the picture, the rest comes.
I think trying many different things is also going to get you closer to what you like and what you don't like, because, you know, you might like 1% of one thing and then 5% of another thing and then 50% of another thing. And then you're like, oh, okay, now I have 55% of things that I like, so I just need to find the other 45. And like Jerry gave me shit for, trying a lot of different things. And he was like, you're just not that. And you're just not that or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but I'm trying. And like, there are things that I like from this bit, and I'm going to combine it, and it's going to give me all the satisfaction that I want. So yeah, if somebody's lost in life and don't have a motivation, Jerry, maybe you need to try some new things.
No.
I was like, no.
No, I do agree.
Oh, you said, I know. I thought you said no. And no. I'm like, oh, no. Okay. Okay.
That's it. Totally.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the reason it's hard now is, like we said before, that all of my mental capacity is like taken up by work. Yeah. All of my time is taken up by work. So when I'm done, right, especially right now, I'm just not motivated afterwards. Yeah. I'm like, damn, bro, I don't want to do shit. Like, I don't want to sit down and work on my computer again more on the side. I don't feel like going out to do this gig. You know, it's really, that part is hard for me. But one day, ladies, I'll be strong like y'all. And I'll be quitting my job.
Who run the world? So Pip, we have a little tradition. I have this book. It's called A Beginner's Guide to the Universe. And there's like a lot of quotes in it. So I'm going to like flip it. You're going to tell me when to stop. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Stop.
Okay. So we have 2 quotes on the left and 3 quotes on the right. So like, or choose left or right.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Top, middle, or bottom?
Middle.
Okay. It says, when it comes to choosing who will be in your life, be sure to value their kawabunga quality as much as all others.
What? The what?
Okay.
Wait. Do y'all know what kawabunga is?
No.
All right. So y'all ain't from the United States. Where's that book written though? I don't know.
I don't know.
Was from, a cartoon. It was the Ninja Turtles. Michelangelo was one of the Ninja Turtles, and he was like their wild, free spirited one. And he just like, cowabunga, dude, like live as fuck. And I think what it's saying is like, read it again.
Yeah.
When it comes to choosing who will be in your life, be sure to value their cowabunga quality as much as all others.
So they're not giving a fuck. Like, they're like their love, their wildness, their, you know, spontaneity. They're spontaneity, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they might be. No, well,
that's
crazy. True.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
This and to book be honest,
that's
amazing.
Coming back to like, yeah, new hobbies. It's like meet new people who do new things. Cause that's always where I get my best ideas. You meet these people who've done these cool things in their life and you're like,
who are completely different.
You've done it. I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to be, you know, if somebody is not in my field or my comfort zone, I'm like, ooh, I don't really have anything to talk to you about. But now I'm like, I know nothing about it, but I want to ask questions. Like, I want to know, like, how did you get there? What's the hardest thing? Like, what are the things that, how do you make this happen? Because that like gives me more insight into life and then what's out there. I'm like, oh, I want to try that. So yeah, like meeting people and asking them questions, being like inquisitive into their own career. It's like really cool, cool, cool thing too. Alrighty.
It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming up. I'm excited. We got to like chat again.
I know.
Without meeting.
There'll be Vino in real life.
Y'all still on this Tinder date though.
We're still on the Tinder date. Yeah.
I just did a little FaceTime though.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm excited, you know, and I hope that maybe one day we're going to have you again for a different topic and, you know, we get to share more of your story because it's been amazing. And I hope that our listeners have some takeaways. I'm sure they do. We shared some great information, Jerry, you, me, everybody. So thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. It was super fun.
Thanks, everybody. We out.